Well, good morning. Is my mic? There we go. I didn't know if it was muted. Certainly wasn't about to check unless they said yes, it was muted. Hey, it's so good to be back with you this week. I so miss worshiping with you. Last week, I had the privilege to be at my dear friend's church, or not his church, he would say, not my church, God's church, Pastor Jeremy Morton, who's a friend and mentor of mine up in Woodstock, Georgia, and is worshiping there. And then, of course, we were able to fly across the world to go over in South Africa and minister for a few days. And so thank you for your generosity. I miss being with you, but certainly glad to be back here this morning. I'm going to go ahead and have them put a slide up here. It's the prayer slide somewhere, Aaron. You're probably going to have to track it down because there we go. You're good at what you do, because that was in the middle. I told Chris, I was like, just throw it in there and we'll figure it out. Hey, take a picture of this. Take a picture of this. Don't feel like you need to do all the texting right now. Go ahead and take a picture if you would like. Joe has rocked it. KC has rocked it. And KC, I'm sorry to even be calling you out. I'm going to try not to call people out this morning. I am hearing that you either go by KC or Casey, and I don't know. KC? Yeah, so this is a huge debate, and Joe, you were wrong. So you owe me $50. okay, you can take that off. We'll get back and get that going here in a second. So I wanted to open up and just share a few things, and we're going to get into this. I'm going to hug my notes a little bit today. Feeling, and if I get emotional too, just know maybe it's not that I'm emotional, I'm just tired. And so usually when I'm tired, I might cry a little more. And so we'll see. Hey, Russ and Karen Dingus, they were two of the three missionaries that we worked with when we were over in South Africa. Many of you got a text a few days ago or an email that Russ and Karen have an 8-year-old granddaughter named Addie, who unfortunately died after being struck by a car when she was on her way to school. She was actually running to the school bus, and sadly, a 25-year-old girl did not stop when the school bus had stopped and unfortunately hit Addie, and she ended up passing away and is with Jesus now. It was tragic because Addie's mother and her three sisters watched the whole thing play out. And so you can imagine the heartbreak. And Russ and Karen learned this news while we were serving in South Africa. We were actually with a group of 22 youth, and everything stopped in that moment when they got the phone call. They are very close with Addie. I won't give you all the details around it, but they have a really special bond with this granddaughter. So they've spent a lot of time with Addie, and so you can imagine how heartbreaking they were by the news. And unfortunately, there was no way to get home any quicker than what we had set out. And so they were put in a position of just helplessness overseas. And all they knew to do was to lean into God and trust Him. And I'm sorry, I told you I'm tired, so I might get more emotional. They wept and they prayed and they praised God when they were over there in this moment. That morning, we were actually ministering over in a school, and Pastor Jeremy Morton had the privilege to share a message. We were with about 50 kids packed in this public school full of poverty, and Pastor Jeremy actually taught a word around praising God when we're glad and praising God when we're sad. And so Jeremy taught for 25 or 30 minutes and sang the song, "Blessed Be the Name of the Lord." And Jeremy shared a very raw and real testimony of where he's had to learn, where we've all been, where we're called to sing, "Blessed be the name of the Lord," whether we're glad or whether we're sad. And he actually had all the kids at one point, and he sang the part where you give and take away, you give and take away. And then you sing on, "But blessed be your name." And we sang that together, and it was a really special moment there that morning with the kids. And nobody had any idea of what was going to be in store for the day. But I'll tell you what was so precious is these kids, they are from the Zulu community, and so they have their own language. But as is the case across the world, most people are taught English. And so they were in an English-speaking school. And so these kids are learning English. And by the end of it, Pastor Jeremy would go, "So we praise God when we're glad, and then we praise God when we're sad." And all these kids would say this out loud. And nobody knew what was in store for the day. But what's amazing and what's so miraculous is Russ and Karen were in that room. So I want you to think about this. God knew exactly what was about to transpire in their life. And through these precious kids that they minister to all the time, God spoke through the voices of these little ones. We praise God when we're glad, and we praise God when we're sad. And so I just look back over that moment, and I think it's amazing. And the reason I share this is I have the question for you. Are you walking close enough to God this morning where you're in tune with what he wants to say through you before you know what's going to transpire for the day? And I think it's amazing. I won't share all the details of why Jeremy shared the message he shared, but look at in God's divine sovereignty, he knew Russ and Karen need to hear from these little kids, need to hear my voice from these little kids. We praise God when we're glad, and we praise God when we are sad. And they're sad. They're heartbroken. And I just want to take a moment to pray for Russ and Karen and Ashley, the mother of Addie, and pray for Kurt, the father. So let's go to God and pray. God, we come before you this morning. Lord, there are moments in life, we've all been through these moments, when we struggle to understand in your sovereignty why horrible things happen the way they do. We struggle to understand why in your sovereignty you would allow this 8-year-old little girl on her way to school be hit by a car. And we struggle and we ask why? And everyone in this room, we've been through that kind of pain, and it makes us question and it makes us wonder. But then we stop and reflect and can look back and see how you know everything that's going on, and you knew what was going to happen in this family's life. So we lift up Russ and Karen and Ashley and Kurt and these three little girls who tragically had to watch their sister die right in front of them. And we pray that you would comfort them in this moment. We thank you that you are the God of peace and comfort. We thank you that you carry us through these tragic moments, and we're asking you that you would carry this family through these tragic moments today, because they need you and we need you. It's likely there's someone in this room this morning that came with a heavy heart and they're grieving. Would you, in the way that you can, speak to them right now in this moment? And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Karen actually wears this necklace, and she talked about it several times. It's this necklace with this tiny itty-bitty key that she wears that she's worn for years, and she gives these necklaces away. And this key, she says, stands for yes. And it's her yes that she puts on the table to God. Her full yes. Her full yes. You know the difference? Sometimes we say yes to God, but it's not a full yes. We're like, "Oh, yes, God, I will serve you." We'll sing here on Sunday morning, and these are wonderful times, but you know the difference. Yes, God, I'll serve you, compared to I'll do anything. I'll do anything. And Karen, I wasn't able to get the full wording behind how she phrases this yes to God. But here's our big idea for today, and I'm going to swing back around when I can talk with her again. But here's our big idea for the day. When you put your full yes on the table, it unlocks a life of fruitfulness and faithfulness. When you put your full yes on the table, it unlocks a life of fruitfulness and faithfulness. But here is the thing. A lot of us love to put our yes on the table, but we attach a string to the yes on the table. It's not a full yes, it's a yes with a string attached. It's not a full yes, it's a yes. Well, I've got some stipulations, and so God, I need to negotiate with you before I say yes. And the problem with that, this isn't any shocker, but I just wanted to illustrate this morning. We'll put our yes, but we attach it to, again, some stipulations, or we attach it to an idol. We attach it to money. We attach it to, I want to make sure I can still go on a vacation. But, you know, the length of the string is short for some, longer than others, but there's still a string attached. So usually this starts out on a Sunday morning like this when you're gathering and you put your yes on the table and your string, you know, it allows you to raise the hands, worship, praise God, whatever that looks like. But eventually God calls you to step out of your comfort zone and your yes is attached to the idol of comfort. You don't like being uncomfortable. And so what happens? All right, God, yeah, I'll serve you and I'll praise you. But if I have to bless God, if I have to give up that vacation that makes me comfortable and happy, I don't know. And so, yes, but I still need to go on vacation. And there's no way to cross over the boundary that God's calling you to cross to reach a lost and dying world. This will play out with money. This will play out, you fill in the blank. We all know what it's like to put our yes on the table with some strings attached. Here's the thing, y'all. Most of us aren't called to world missions, like where we're going to be traveling across the world. I really hope you don't leave here thinking, the pastor wants me to travel across the world to reach the lost and dying world. No, I'm talking about like everyday stuff. And we have a yes, but there's always a string attached. And God's never going to be able to use us how he wants to use us. That full yes never actually gets put on the table. Therefore, you don't get to unlock a life of fruitfulness and faithfulness. And that's a problem. And what many of you, what I hope we all do today, is we cut off that string that's holding us back from living a life of fruitfulness and faithfulness. And I just want to ask that you really look to God when you leave and ask him, what have you put on the table, but you've attached it to a string and God's not really using you how you know he can? Let's make it through the message today because I don't want to hold us here. I can really talk. And now that I'm tired, look, I could go for an hour and a half, truthfully. I have no idea what's really going on right now. Matthew chapter 28. Verses 16 through 20. Listen to what the word of God says. You've heard this. This is the Great Commission. The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. Remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Almost 20 years ago, a woman by the name of Becky Harris told her friend Karen that she felt a calling to raise up disciples in South Africa. This is who we hung out with for a few days. Here's what's awesome about Becky and Karen. These women are heroes of the faith. They are an example of how God can use ordinary people to do extraordinary things across the world. And what started as a dream has turned into a full-on discipleship ministry taking place in South Africa. their heart is set on reaching what is called the Zulu community. And I'm going to say up front, it's hard to put into words the amazing ministry that's taking place there. It's every bit of what the Great Commission is all about. It's every bit of what God calls us to do. They're not just going over there delivering food and water. They are raising up an indigenous group of people to reach their own community, recognizing when people like us, when white people, which by the way, over in South Africa, you can still say white people and black people, and it's not like, oh my goodness, you can't do that. Over there, there's no boundaries like that. There's a presence of the Spirit that bonds everyone together, and they recognize you need to raise up the indigenous group of people that grew up in that culture to reach a lost and dying world, and that's exactly what they do. I have a couple pictures for you to show you. Picture one is our group. This is who we are traveling with, and Becky and Karen and Russ, they're on the left. If you didn't know, that's me right there. So this is Becky, this is Karen, and this is Russ, and then these are the few other pastors that I was traveling with. My buddy, Pastor Jeremy's right here, Dallas, and Pastor Clay. This is who we travel with. So these are the missionaries that we were working with. They're out of Woodstock, Georgia. You can go to the next picture here. This is the staff. So all of these staff members here were raised up. It was 17 years of ministry that's brought them to where they are today. And so I'll go through some names here. This is a guy named Kay. This is Slee. This is Anele. This is Vuyo. And this is Simo. Notice Simo's biceps. He's strong. I actually worked out with him one evening. Him and I worked out with Kay over here. And then we have Baloo. And then this is Tap Seeley. Actually, and then over here is, this is Anele. Now, you see how I'm mixing up names? Happened all week. Like all week. Butchering names all over the place. This is actually Leafley. This was my life. I'm telling you. And they would just laugh. At one point, I was talking with who I thought was Kay, and it was Anele. And I was like, dude, why didn't you say it? He's like, oh, I'm doing Pastor David. I didn't know. So he didn't want to embarrass me. You can take that down. So all of this started. There's a couple different ministries here that they have. There is the Hope to Africa 22, and this is a discipleship ministry where they pour into 22 youths that meet through weekly Bible study. They teach them how to share Jesus in their community using the arts. They have weekly rehearsals. They have two camps a year, and these camps, they actually invite outsiders. This group meets weekly. They perform a gospel outreach monthly, and they serve their community through outreach projects. This is where it all began. And that staff I showed you 17 years ago, it was just pouring into youth. It was just pouring into these kids. And for 17 years, they've labored and discipled and have raised up this unbelievable staff. It's pretty amazing. And so again, these youth, their staff now ranges from anywhere from 21 to 32. Eight of the youths make up the staff, and they were born and raised in the area. They've been discipled up, and they're doing some wonderful, wonderful work leading there. Becky and Karen, and then sometimes Russ, they make around 5 trips a year to South Africa. They spend 2 to 3 months a year over there, and then the rest, they just do Zoom calls. Here's what was amazing. When we were shown all that's taking place in this Zulu community, it wasn't Becky and Russ and Karen sharing everything with us. It was the staff that they had raised up. Pretty amazing. And so they lead several different ministries. One was the Hope to Africa 22. The next is Hope to Africa Compassion. And so I have a few pictures to show you. I'll show you this first picture here. So this is Slee, and she leads Hope to Africa Compassion. And you see, it's pretty much what you would expect. They deliver goods to families in need. You can go to the next picture there, Aaron. So we got privileged to take one of these trips over to this community. So down here, you see this is part of a community called Columbe, or you could call it the Shacks. You see how these are homes that people are living in. There is some power running to them, but water, you go and fetch it from one of the wells around. And so this is, we're going to visit a family to drop off some goods and share the gospel with them. In Columbe, the shacks, this is just one area of it. 20 to 30,000 people are packed in this small little area. And these people, it's all they know. In fact, I was talking with some of the staff and I was like, what is it like when you go back and to this community? And you know what he said? It's home. It just feels like home. You can go to the next picture. This is a pretty prophetic moment. This guy right here, I don't recall his name, but he's someone that lives in the shacks in Columbe. And they ran into him last year. He had just been beaten up pretty bad in Columbe, was in a wheelchair, looked horrible. They shared the gospel with him, had a bigger smile on his face this time around. But Hope to Africa Compassion, you can take that down, does some pretty amazing things. They serve those in poverty and then those in extreme poverty. I'm not going to show you a bunch of other pictures. Number one, I didn't ask if I could just share pictures. But secondly, I showed Pastor Chris one of them, and he was like, it looks like it's just a doctored photo. Like, it's one of those photos in this small little home, these six little babies sitting on a dirt floor. You would think I was making it up. Like, you would think it was like a photo produced to raise money. This is their real life that they are living in, extreme poverty. You've heard stories from Africa and South Africa. You've heard them. We don't have this type of poverty in America. None. We don't have this type of poverty in America. You just have to be there. You have to smell the smell. And it's not the best smell in the world. Seeing all these little babies running around. It's home. You know what's crazy? So many smiles, like happy people. They seem pumped to be just living life. It was quite amazing. Another ministry they do is Friendship Bible Studies. This is pretty cool. I'm going to show this next picture here. This is from the school. So here's the principal. Don't remember her name. Funny story, she was sharing how someone asked her how many school days they have a year, and she referenced usually it's X amount of days, but this year is a leap year, so we had an extra day. And poor Pastor Clay, we were sitting in this room, and he went, you said leap year? What is a leap year? It took everything in us just to not laugh out loud. He didn't make the connection. Here's a cool story, though, too. This is the teacher of one of the classrooms we were in. She was Hindu. She gave her life to Christ. True story, gave her life to Christ. Husband left her and took the kids. She's able to interact with her kids some now. Lost everything for the sake of the gospel. This is real life stuff happening all across the world that we don't see much here in this country. You can go to the next picture. So this is Pastor Jeremy, the story I shared in the beginning when he was teaching the kids. This is what a classroom with kids would look like. It's just, they just pack them in. I mean, they pack them in, 40 and 50 kids. You can go to the next picture there. So this is them. They're zoned in. Again, God spoke through him and in an incredible, incredible way. One of the sad things that Jeremy was sharing around the time, I'm sure, of when this picture was taken, one of the staff members that they had poured into for years, 10, 12 years, a guy named Tulani, had taken his life because, sadly, of some of the pressure there and the staff. One of the reasons we were there is just to encourage the staff. It happened a couple of months ago, and Jeremy was asked 3 minutes before, hey, can you let these kids know? Because they were on summer break. Class had just started back. Can you let the kids know that Tulani's no longer with us? And that's when he reshaped his whole message around praising God when we're glad, praising God when we're sad. So these Bible studies, one of the ministries they do, Balu leads these. Every single week, they have the privilege of going into the classrooms and sharing the gospel, which is crazy. Like, can you imagine pastors being invited into the public school system today? You pray with the teachers, all that. They get to do that over in South Africa. It's like they're a little smarter than we are on, we need Jesus in the schools. So that's one of the other ministries they do, Friendship Bible Studies. It's pretty cool. Next picture here is the Hope to Africa Young Adults. So this is Hope to Africa Young Adults Meeting. Pastor Dallas was sharing a word with them. If you notice, the lights are off. That's because the power was out. In South Africa, there's something called load shedding that the current president started. Very corrupt government. Like, you're like, oh, America's government is corrupt. Ha! You need to go over there. Way beyond corrupt. Imagine if we live life where all throughout the day, the government just shuts the power off to the town. Wouldn't that be fun? That's what they live in all the time. AC isn't common there. But guess what? Power shuts off. They still have church. They still keep going. I'm sitting there sweating. In fact, it's getting so hot, I feel like I'm going to fall asleep because I'm tired and sweating. They're dialed in. And I was sitting there when this was going on thinking like, Lord, if power cut off to our city on a Sunday morning, it would be half full. Y'all know, if you can text, I'm sorry, David, we couldn't open our garage. You know, well, you know, they would say, well, we walked to church, okay? I can't take a hot shower. Like that, this is real life stuff. This is their everyday life. The power shut off during this Bible study, zero reaction. Like, they just kept preaching the word. Zero reaction. This is part of the life that they live with over there in South Africa. So this is the young adults. A lot of them came from the Hope 22. Once you hit 17, you graduate out of the program, and this is one of the ministries they're able to do as well. The last ministry that Hope to Africa does is called My Brother's Table. I'm going to put up four pictures here. Here's the first one. This is a carpentry ministry that was started a little over a year ago. It's a carpentry ministry. You have Simo here on the left. He's the guy I worked out with. Simo, like, again, he's a big dude. He leads the ministry. And so this is just one of these ministries that where they build things, but it's a discipleship ministry. So a lot of the people in South Africa, most of these kids don't have a dad or a mom. They died of AIDS. And if they do, they have just one. But drugs and alcohol, it's a horrible, horrible, horrible problem over there. And so this carpentry ministry was created to help disciple people and help get them out of addiction. We can go to the next picture here. This is, that's Kay over there on the left. He's explaining to us some of these boxes that they build. And go to the next picture. Okay, this is us here. We were delivering furniture. So one of the things they do is they find people in like Columbe, that area I told you about, that they need a piece of furniture or something. And there's different things they do where they build the furniture for free, but they allow these people to come in and they call it sand to earn. So they find people who could use some furniture and say, hey, why don't you come over for six weeks or so and just sand these different things we're working on for you. So they come over and sand, helps them feel like they've earned the furniture, build some dignity in them. But every time these people come over, they're able to share the gospel and tell them about Jesus. And then once it's all done, they drive into different areas and then we hand deliver the furniture. And that's what we were doing here. I think we have a couple more pictures of what's going on here. Here's Quentin. This is a piece of furniture that you see behind him. Quentin, the reason I'm putting this up there, this is his home. Like if you look behind there, this is his home. He's blessed to have like a little tile flooring in there. But if you see, this is his home. This is where Quentin lives. Biggest smile on his face. I was talking to Quentin, just smile. This is how he was the whole time, just like that. And I was like, man, tell me about this. So he still lives in this area. And Quentin met the Hope to Africa, some of the staff a few years ago, gave his life to Jesus. This is true stories. Like, and he leaned over and said this. He's like, don't tell them this. But before I met them, I never smiled like this. This is the gospel at work in Quentin's life. And so these are just a few of the ministries that's taking place in Hope to Africa. And while there, as you can see, we were blessed to be able to participate in some of these ministries while pouring into the staff. Becky, Karen, and Russ have put their full yes on the table, and that full yes has unlocked a life of fruitfulness and faithfulness. Again, 17 years ago, it was just a few kids they were pouring into. All these ministries I'm showing you today, it took a long time. Perseverance, endurance. Many of us want to bear fruit. We want to experience what it's like to be deeply faithful to God. We want the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. We want wisdom and knowledge. But very few of us put our full yes on the table. And I came here today to just encourage you to put your full yes on the table. I want to encourage you to say yes to God, to say yes to God with no strings attached. I want to encourage you to say, God, I will go and do anything you call me to do. More than likely, again, it's not across the world. It's in this city. And it changes you. But to go and make disciples of all nations, you need to be a disciple yourself. You know, disciples are lifelong learners and lifelong followers of Jesus. If you're not a lifelong learner and a lifelong follower of Jesus, you will struggle to go and make disciples how God calls you to. Discipleship is simply duplicating yourself. It's taking you and making more than one of you. I want to read the Great Commission here again. 3 points and we're out. We're done. Let's read this again. Verse 16, stay awake. If I can stay awake right now, you can stay awake right now. Except I guess I'm talking, so I can just blab and blab and blab and stay awake. The 11th, let's skip down to verse 18. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. So in order to go, going is crossing boundaries to share the gospel. Going is crossing boundaries to share the gospel. Here's a question. What's a big boundary that many of us are struggling with today? It's that idol of comfort that I was talking to you about. You don't want to be uncomfortable. Going requires that you cross the boundary of uncomfortable to make disciples. I was blessed to be in this discipleship group with a few other pastors over the last year. It was a group of us brothers. We read 10 books, memorized scripture all throughout the year, and we ended with this trip in the mountains where we got to speak life into people. You know what word God gave me through these men? You know what they said? David, you know what? You're following Jesus. You're leading a church. You know what they said? Man, you got to be willing to get uncomfortable. You got to be willing to get uncomfortable. 2024, I know for me, I'm hoping to be willing to be a little more uncomfortable to go and make disciples. This includes sharing Jesus with those around you. This includes grabbing dinner with a lost friend and sharing the gospel with them, praying for them, giving them a Bible, offering to read a Bible with them. Going is living life on mission every single day. Is your full yes on the table? Like, are you living life on mission? Is your yes one with strings attached? One of the things we could all ask ourselves, when is the last time you told someone about Jesus? Not just, do you want to come to church? But when is the last time you said, can I tell you what Jesus did for you so that you can have life, so that you can have peace, so you can have comfort? Going and making disciples should be happening here right now. God's not likely to call you across the world or do extraordinary things through you if I am not willing to have those simple gospel conversations every single day. But what holds us back? We don't like being uncomfortable. What holds us back? We don't really know Jesus. going and making disciples. Going is living on mission every single day. Here's another one. Going is supporting those who are going across the world to share the gospel. I'll tell you this, Kelly and I want to do a better job of that. I am obsessed with finances too much. Like, I've always thought if I had a second job, it would be financial planner. I love crunching the numbers. I obsess over it. Shout out to Dave Ramsey, FBU. I'm all about the zero. Oh, geez. He's the king, man. No, Christ is the king, right? I'm big on that, $0 budget, all of that. But man, just asking myself, we're passionate about being generous, but I've been thinking a lot more like, are we stretching ourselves and are we supporting specific work that's taking place across the world? Going is supporting those who are going across the world to share the gospel. Here's another one. Going is supporting work that equips indigenous disciples in other cultures. So again, a lot of going isn't necessarily traveling across the world and taking a 16-hour flight. And let me tell you, a 16-hour flight is every bit of what it sounds like. It's 16 hours. You run out of stuff to do. Praise God. Praise God. I felt led by God on the flight back. I knew there was going to be a full row open. I felt led by God to go ahead and sit in that full row without asking permission. So praise be to God. I got 8 hours of sleep on the flight back. I was basically sitting in first class just in the back of the plane. It was amazing. But going is supporting work that equips indigenous disciples in other cultures. There's a few things we have to do in order to make to contribute to that. Our church will be, I believe, supporting Hope to Africa in the future. So we're going to be able to contribute monthly. We'll be able to share with you all about that. We'll be able to share with you details on how you can personally give to this ministry as well. No doubt in my mind, though, Sunrise City Church is going to be supporting the great work that's happening there. Here's what I told my wife for the rest of my days. And I pray the rest of my days are with Sunrise. But I was like, man, for the rest of my days, wherever God has me, we're going to be directing funds to Hope to Africa. Unbelievable work taking place there. But if you notice, again, in this Great Commission, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Notice when we make disciples, we are baptizing them, but we're also teaching them to observe everything Christ has commanded. Here's the thing. We are disobeying part of the Great Commission if we don't evangelize and call people to make a decision for Christ. Pastor Chris brought a word on prayer. I listened to that word. Great word, Pastor Chris. But at the end of that message, he talked about what we often talk about, sharing the gospel. It's what we're called to do. It's our life goal. Tell people about Jesus. I just want to encourage you to obey the Great Commission and tell someone about Jesus this week. We all know people who need Jesus, don't we? You could just start listing names. You could probably fill up a prayer journal with 30 names by the end of the day of people who need Jesus. We're disobeying part of the Great Commission if we're not actually out evangelizing and calling people to make a decision for Christ. But here's the other thing. We are disobeying part of the Great Commission if we aren't faithfully and lovingly nurturing new converts by teaching them how to follow Christ. Both are part of the Great Commission. But good news, Sunrise. If you're like, oh, I can't do that. I don't know the Bible enough. You can work on that. I don't know God as much as I want to know God. You can work on that. You know what the good news is, though? What does Jesus say at the end? I am with you always to the end of the age. Which means to fulfill the Great Commission, to live life on mission, Jesus is telling the church, he was telling the 11 disciples in that moment, and God's telling us today, I will be with you every step of the way. All I need from you is a full yes on the table with no strings attached, and I will work wonders in your life. A full yes will lead to fruitfulness and faithfulness in your life. I'll be with you. You just got to say, yes, Lord, I will go. Again, most of us, we're not called to travel across the world. We're called to just walk across the street. Do you want to come over and have some dinner? But that's not what we do in our culture. Let me tell you, the neighborhood I live in right now, I went from one neighborhood to another neighborhood a year and a half ago. Nobody gets out and talks. That was the weirdest thing. Like, nobody waves. It's like, hey, it's like, hey. And then there, boom, inside. Okay, I've got to do a better job at evangelizing my own neighborhood, inviting people over. A full yes on the table is what unlocks a life of fruitfulness and faithfulness. And Jesus made all that possible. He wants to do extraordinary things through you. Becky and Karen, they're just ordinary women. But they put their full yes on the table. And God's doing the extraordinary. One of the things I told them when we were sitting, look, so some of this was kind of bougie. They have all these points, and we were sitting in this nice lounge in the airport. I got to shower in the airport. I don't know if you've ever done that, but I was like, I am living the life, okay? Ordering whatever food, it was like legit, you know, sitting in the Johannesburg airport, living the life. But I was, it's because they have all these points. Our church didn't pay for that part, okay? And again, I sat in the very back. I walked past first class, and I told the stewardess, I was hoping you're going to point me that way. She's like, oh, I wish I could. I was like, yeah, I'm sure you do wish you could, you know? I'm a pastor, you know? No, I didn't say that. I don't think that way. But I told Karen and Becky and Russ, I said, this is one of these stories that 100 years from now, people are going to be writing about. For real. And I just felt blessed and honored that our church got to be a part of just a little tiny slither of this story of faithfulness to God. Let's commit to put our yes on the table. Let's pray. God, a lot was talked about. Lord, I pray that Sunrise, which is a group of people, we gather once a week, but it's just a group of people who have been changed by the gospel message of Jesus. I pray that the people of God who make up Sunrise would be willing to put our full yes on the table with no strings attached. And by faith, we believe that full yes is the key that's going to unlock a life of fruitfulness and faithfulness. We praise you, God, for the unbelievable work that's taking place in Hope to Africa. We praise you for Becky and Karen, who put their full yes on the table. We praise you for Russ, who later on partnered, put his full yes on the table. We praise you for the staff over there who have put their full yes on the table and who are boldly sharing the gospel with their neighbors. I pray that that would be Sunrise, that we would boldly share the gospel. But Lord, somebody in here does not know you. They're not a disciple of you. And we know that Jesus came down to this planet, lived a perfect, sinless life. He died on the cross for our sin and shame. He rose again, conquering sin and grave, ascended into heaven, and ever since then, you have been sending your spirit down and dwelling all who call upon the name of the Lord. So I pray for the one or the many who have not called on your name. Would you give them the faith to step out and say, I need Jesus. Lord, we need you. We need you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.